Okay. Let us do the Dhyana Shloka. Om Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva Jnanapradam Gurum
Mokshunam Hitarthaya
Sattva
Bodho Bhidhiyate.
So we finished Sadhana Chatushtayam and we are into Tattva Vivekaha, actual inquiry into the ultimate truth, the absolute truth. And Acharya starts with the sentence that defines what Tattva Viveka is. That is what we have been discussing. So let us read that. Tattva Viveka Kaha.
Tattva Viveka Kaha. Tattva Viveka Kaha. Tattva Viveka Kaha.
Atma Satyam.
Atma Satyam.
Atma Satyam. Atma Satyam.
Atma Satyam.
Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti.
Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti. Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti.
Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti.
Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti.
Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti.
Atma Satyam Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti.
Atma Sarvam Tadanyat Mithyeti.
So, Tattva Viveka Kaha. What is the goal of this Tattva Vivekam or Atma Jnanam? The understanding that Atma Satyam Tadanyat Sarvam Mithyeti. Atma is the eternal truth. Everything else is Mithya. So, as I said in the class, when we ended, Acharya introduces four technical words. Although we may think this is just a sentence, he introduces four technical words here. One is Atma, second is Satyam, then Tadanyat Sarvam, then Mithya. So four words he is introducing. So here Atma and Tadanyat Sarvam. Atma and everything else other than Atma. So if we want to simply replace that Tadanyat Sarvam with another technical word, we can call that as Anatma. Atma Satyam, Anatma Mithya is what Acharya is saying. So Atma is Satyam and Anatma is Mithya. So now the question is, what does this mean? And I said in the last class, this is the ultimate knowledge or ultimate understanding, that entire sadhana of Atma Vidya is aimed at to realize this truth, not just intellectually, but internally. So when this truth is realized, not just intellectually, not academically, not linguistically, but internally, as the real truth, that is the goal of Brahma Jnanam, that is the goal of Atma Jnanam. So now, as I said in the beginning, Tattva Bodha is like the glossary, or it introduces us to the nomenclature of Vedanta. All the technical terms of Vedanta are introduced in Tattva Bodha. So, from now onwards, since the inquiry has started, in each of the sutras, Acharya will be introducing more and more and more technical words and their definitions. And once we completely understand these technical words and the definition, when we go through any other Vedanta text, the true meaning of the text we will be able to easily understand, because we already know the definitions of the technical words. So here the four technical words are Atma, Satyam and Anatma, Mithya. Now what is Satyam? Satyam, as we know it, is what is Satyam? Satyam means, what is the simplest meaning of Satyam?
The one that never changes.
Truth, truth. The, of course, in Vedanta, the one that never changes is called Satyam. But simply saying, the linguistic meaning of Satyam is truth.
Okay.
So if you want, if you have to translate this, this sentence, you would translate this as Atma is the truth, Anatma is Asatyam, Mithya. Mithya here, we would logically think that Mithya means Asatyam. So Atma is Satyam, Anatma is Asatyam. But since these are technical words, those linguistic meanings don't really exactly apply here. We need to go a little deeper. So as Ayyavaru said, Satyam in Vedanta means one that never changes. One that never changes, also called Trikala Abadhitam Satyam. Trikala Abadhitam, one that never changes in the past, the present and the future, is called Satyam. And the second meaning of Satyam is, Satyam is independent reality. This is a very important meaning. Satyam means independent reality. One that does not depend on anything else for it to exist is Satyam. That is independent reality. So now we have two meanings for the word Satyam. Satyam is one that exists all the time. One that exists all the time, Trikala Abadhitam. And the second one is one that is an independent reality. That is also called Paramarthika Satyam. In the language of Vedanta, that is also called Paramarthika Satyam. So from now on, all these new words, new technical words will be coming. So it will be useful if you make note of them and take maybe quick notes on what these definitions mean, so that when we have bigger, larger discussions, when we fall back, you will understand very clearly. So this Satyam is also called Paramarthika Satyam, the ultimate reality. So what Acharya says here is Atma Satyam. Atma is the ultimate reality. Atma is the reality that never changes. Atma has independent reality. And this is the highest knowledge of Vedanta. Atma has independent, highest reality. Okay, we'll keep that there. We'll come back and explain it a little later. Now take the other part. Anatma, Mithya. Anatma, Mithya. So Atma, then Tadanyat Sarvam. Everything else other than Atma is Mithya. So in general language, what is Mithya?
That never exists or something like that.
Illusion. Mithya is illusion.
Illusion. Correct word.
Mithya is an illusion. Is illusion. So illusion means literally the how you define illusion. Illusion means that looks like it exists, but in actuality it does not exist. That is illusion. So we normally talk about the mirage example. So in the mirage there is water. The illusion of water is there in the mirage. So it looks like as if the water exists, but if you go closer, that water you can never see at spot. The mirage keeps moving with you and one will never be able to find real water in that mirage. So that is illusion. So here Mithya, Vedanta also sort of defines it in the same lines. So mithya means dependent reality. That is one definition of mithya. Mithya is dependent reality, one that appears as if it exists but needs something else to exist upon. It cannot exist independently. If the right conditions are not there, the mirage does not exist. The right conditions are not there, mirage does not exist. So for the mirage to exist, there needs to be something else that is present there. You know, the right kind of surface, the right kind of temperature, the right kind of, you know, the air density, etc. When all those things come together, then mirage appears. So it does not have independent reality. So mirage does not appear anywhere and everywhere. So one that is dependent, has dependent reality, that is called mithya. And the other one, similar to the other example in the other definition we took for Atma, is one that does not exist in all times. It comes to existence and it ceases to exist at some point. It comes to existence at some point and ceases to exist at some point. That is mithya. So it does not have absolute reality. So satyam and mithya, we have seen the definitions. Now what is this atma and anatma? Atma, so what is atma? So what is atma? Actual definition of what atma is, we are going to come to right after this in Tattva Bodha itself. Acharya is going to define what is atma, what is anatma, etc. But for our basic understanding, atma is that entity, that substratum, that is most fundamental to all this existence and upon which this whole existence is rested. So Acharya wants us to now start thinking, okay, what is that substance upon which this entire creation rests, and that which can exist independently, and everything else that we see in creation is dependent upon it. What is that substance? What is that entity? For example, let us call it Atma for now. We will actually understand what Atma is a little later. So let us call it X. Now we are solving for X. So what is that X? Now, that leads us to sort of thinking, okay, I am seeing all these things around me. I am seeing furniture around me. I am seeing houses around me. I am seeing trees, water, rivers, oceans, buildings, people, animals, insects, birds, everything around me. Okay, are they Atma? Are they not Atma? Now, if we put this definition into the context of their existence, we can slowly start seeing, okay, people, animals, birds, plants, trees, oceans, even this entire earth, our solar system for that matter, it comes into existence at some point of time, it disappears from existence at some point of time. So there is a date of birth and there is a date of death for everything in this creation. So by definition, everything that has a date of birth and a date of death cannot be called satyam, cannot be called the absolute independent reality. So anything that I see around myself, feel around myself, smell around myself, anything that I can perceive with my sense organs or with my mind cannot probably be Atma. So the Atma must be something else then. So that is our logical way of thought process. once we know what these definitions mean. So we still don't know what Atma means. But we know that what we are seeing around us may not be Atma. Because we know just from the definition that they might all fall into the definition of Mithya. Mithya means dependent reality. They all are coming into existence based on something else and going back from existence into something else. So we will sort of logically, we can logically take that leap. And Shastra says, good, that is the train of thought I want you to take. Start thinking about everything around yourself and start categorizing it. Start categorizing it and put into the bucket of Atma or Anatma. Then as we go on and go on and go on, and we actually see the definitions of everything around us. In fact, in Tattva Bodha, there is going to be a lot more description of what Anatma things are rather than what Atma is, because that is extremely important for us to understand. What is Anatma? What are all these things that we see around us that are composed, that are bucketed into this Anatma? And why are they called Anatma? Why are they not permanent? Why are they coming and going away? What is the reason? Where are they coming from? Where are they going away? What is that reality upon which they are based? So Acharya is going to spend a lot more time in defining what Anatma is than defining what Atma is. Because for us, our attachment to the things around us is so strong that the mind does not accept that they are not permanent. They are not the ultimate truth. And what we see around us, what we perceive around us is not the reality. When Vedanta says that, our mind just simply refuses to accept it. Why? I am so clearly perceiving everything around me. How can that be not reality? How can that be a dependent reality? I see that everything is there by itself. Then the Shastra slowly peels layer by layer by layer and shows to the detail that we cannot even think about. We cannot even fathom. It goes to that kind of detail and goes to more subtle and more subtle and more subtle levels and layers to show that all these things are not the absolute reality. And this whole thing, Anatma, Shastra calls it as Vyabharika Satyam. So the previous one, Atma, was called what? Paramarthika Satyam, the absolute reality. And this dependent reality is called Vyavaharika Satyam. So Mithya is Vyavaharika Satyam. Dependent reality, not absolute reality. But Mithya, one thing we should be very, very clear about, Mithya doesn't mean false. Or Mithya doesn't mean untrue. Mithya doesn't mean it does not exist. That is not what it means. Mithya means it is not absolute existence. It is dependent existence. It is existence for the sake of our perception. In Shastra, it is also called with other names like Khandita Satyam, Simita Satyam. These are all other names given to this word called Mithya. Khandita Satyam means one that can be refuted. The seeming truth that can be refuted. With what? Refuted with knowledge. Let us take one example. When we are in our kindergarten, we are taught about sunrise and sunset. sunrises in the east and sunsets in the west. And we take that knowledge and we consider it the reality. And we keep on memorizing it. Sunrises in the east, sunsets in the west. Sunrises in the east, sunsets in the west. But when we go to a higher class, we are taught about the solar system, how Earth rotates around itself, how Earth rotates around the sun, and that is how seasons are caused, how the rotation around itself causes the day and night. And that dismantles the truth of sunrise and sunset. Although we see sunrise and sunset in front of our eyes every single day, and it seems like the absolute truth, we know by the power of knowledge that they are not absolute truth. The sunrise and sunset are not absolute truth. They appear like truth, but the actual truth is something else. The actual truth is the turning of the earth, the rotation of the earth. But we can accept it as vyavaharika satyam, the truth, just for the sake of accepting it. We can accept it because it happens in front of us. But it can be refuted. It can be disproved with the power of knowledge. And Vedanta says, similarly, the existence of this world, this existence of this creation can be completely disproved and refuted with the power of the knowledge of Vedanta, with the power of the knowledge of this jnanam called Atma Jnanam, the actual nature of reality. Once we understand the actual nature of reality, this seeming reality that we consider as truth, this world, this creation, my existence in this body, the people around me, the things around me, all this, their independent existence can be disproved. Then one can ask, so what? So what if it can be proved or disproved? How does it make a difference to me? The difference is the entire set of emotional experiences that we go through in life are only due to the fact that we consider our body and everything else that exists around us to be the absolute truth. And we get so upset about things because we consider everything else to be the absolute truth. Once we realize the real truth, and understand that this is only a seeming reality, then this entire life, in a jiffy, this entire life that we are living can become so much lighter, so much happier, because we will know that this is all just an appearance. We can play our part without any problem. Although we know from science that the sunrise and sunset are absolute false, we can still go and enjoy the sunrise every morning. We can still go enjoy the sunset every evening. Nobody stops us from enjoying the sunrise and sunset. But we still know in the depth of our intellect that these are not the absolute truth. Similarly, once we understand the real truth of this creation, of this reality, then we can continue enjoying this temporary reality until it exists without getting emotionally tangled. And that gets us to a state of absolute bliss. And this is not something that I am saying or another person is saying. This is the statement of all our rishis, all our acharyas, all our gurus, starting from the rishis of the Vedas, from the Upanishads, saying, once you understand that reality, there is no dukkham anymore. There is no sorrow anymore. Tarati shokam atmavit is what Upanishad says. one who knows the ultimate reality, tarati shokam, can transcend sorrow completely and permanently. So that is how Acharya introduces us to these technical words called Atma, Satyam, Anatma, Mithya. So in other words, this Satyam and Mithya are also called with two other technical words called Adhishtanam and Aropitam. Adhishtanam is the substratum, the real base of everything. Aropitam is something that has been projected. Something that has been projected. So, realizing that there is an entity that is Satyam, that is the Adhishtanam, that is the substratum of all, and there is everything else, Tadanyat Sarvam, everything else that has been projected onto that substratum, and realizing the difference, and understanding that difference, and internalizing that difference, gives us that knowledge that will cause us to be never experiencing sorrow again. Because as long as we are seeing the magic show, for example, and we don't know the secret behind the magic trick, we go through this emotional disturbance. How did he do it? How did he do it? How did he do it? But once the magician reveals the trick to us, afterwards, we can watch the show and we can enjoy it if we like, but we know we are at peace. We don't have to worry because we know the secret. So just like that, we have the experience is the same. What is happening in front of us is the same, but our reactions can be vastly different based on our understanding of the reality. Now coming back to this mithya, so does this mithya mean, does it actually exist or not exist? We call it an illusion. We call it a dependent reality. We called it something that comes into existence and that goes out of existence. It is not absolute reality. It is apurna satyam. That is what the Shastra says, apurna satyam. But does that mean, is it satyam or not? And Vedanta says, it is anirvachaniyam. You cannot say it does not exist, the mithya. You cannot say, for example, take the sunrise, sunset or the mirage example. You cannot say it does not exist because it happens in front of you. You cannot also say it exists because with the proper knowledge that just disappears from your understanding. So it seems like it exists, but in reality, it does not exist. And that is what is called anirvachaniyam, one that cannot be defined. So this mithya, another word for this mithya is anirvachaniyam, undefinable. So Shastra calls it anirvachaniya khyati. Another technical word, anirvachaniya khyati. Anirvachaniya khyati. Khyati means knowledge. So what is the knowledge of the reality of this world? Many, many different branches of Vedanta, they fought and they tried to define this particular phenomenon in their way. Some people said it is sat khyati. Some people said it is asat khyati. Some people said it is sadasat khyati, so on and so forth. But Advaita says it is anirvachaniyam. You cannot define it. And that is why it introduces another word for this mithya, also called maya. Also called maya. Maya means one that appears as if it exists, but in reality it does not exist. Ya ma sa maya. Ya ma means one that does not exist. Sa maya, that is maya. So when you hear about Advaita calling everything as maya, everything as maya, and only Atma is the reality or Brahman is the reality, this is what is meant. Maya does not mean Advaita discounts everything that exists in this world as not existing. How can we discount everything that exists so clearly in front of us, all around us, as something that does not exist? That is not the way Advaita looks at things. What it actually says is, yes, everything exists and everything is real until you gain that required Brahmajnanam and are able to see the same things as apparent reality only. Just like how you are able to see the sunrise as apparent reality and not absolute reality. What is the difference? The same sun comes up every single day from the same direction. But how are you able to say one day it is real and the other day it is not real? Only difference is one's knowledge. One gained the real knowledge of that phenomenon, and therefore one is able to say on the previous day it was satyam, and from today onwards he considers it as mithya, an illusion. So similarly, until one gains sampurna brahmajnanam, this jagat is a reality. We cannot denounce it. It is a reality. We have to interact with it. But once at some point with Ishvara's grace, with Guru's grace, one gains that brahmajnanam, atmajnanam, and understands internally the real ultimate reality of things, then one can say atma satyam tadanyat sarvam mithya. One will be able to say, and that is why that is the goal of this entire Vedanta sadhana. So the very simple example of, okay, if it is unreal, why don't I see it? Because it is not available for proving by our pratyaksha pramanas. We, with our indriyas, panchendriyas, and our manas, our buddhi, in the way they are right now, will not be able to perceive the real truth. That is why the sadhana chatushtaya sampatti is so important, because they will purify the indriyas, purify the mind, purify the intellect, and take us to a level where when this truth is explained to us, we will be able to understand. If you bring a toddler and try to explain him the phenomenon of rotation and revolution of earth, nothing gets to him. He does not understand it because he does not have the required mental capacity to understand. So once one improves one's mental capacity to be able to understand the reality of things, then slowly the same truth will start to make more and more and more and more and more sense. Okay, any questions so far?
Two questions, Guru.
Mm-hmm.
So one of them is kind of just a technical thing. So here he says, he's basically, like you said, saying Atma and Anatma.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't Atma and Atma Vastu Vivekam like a prerequisite for this? So what's the difference between Atma and Atma Vivekam? And then
there are always
Vivekam, which...
Yeah, there are gradations. Once, if one doesn't even have any Atma and Atma Vivekam, why does one even come to the Vedanta class? One does not, right? So when one does not even realize the difference between what I see around me and maybe there is a truth somewhere that I am not able to see, and I see the difference between what is happening in front of me versus what may be happening beyond my senses, So when those questions don't even raise in one's head, one does not even come to Vedanta class. One is happily in samsara, enjoying the sense pleasures. So that little bit of nitya nitya vastu vivekam one should have. But that vivekam is in the form of jignasa rather than jnana.
Okay.
Jignasa, atmanatma jignasa or nitya nitya viveka jignasa, then one finally reaches nitya nitya vastu jnanam.
Okay. And then the other thing was so mithya is dependent reality and then satyam is paramarthika satyam.
Right.
So does vyavaharika satyam need to have a paramarthika satyam under it, or can a vyavaharika satyam be based on a vyavaharika satyam that's based on a paramarthika satyam?
Yeah, it can. You can have any number of layers of vyavaharika satyam, but eventually the ultimate substratum has to be the ultimate reality.
Okay.
It has to be ultimate reality only. Because you can try to stand any number of cards one on top of the other, but unless there is a solid ground behind it, everything else will collapse.
Okay.
So once that substratum is there, then you can build whatever you want.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, so that is why in Dakshinamurti Stotram Acharya says, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijantargatam. So that Nijantargatam, that underlying truth has to be there. Otherwise, you won't be able to even see anything in this creation. So he says, Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari. This entire creation is like the city that one sees in a mirror or in the sky. If one looks at the clouds, they may look like all these different kinds of shapes, and it may look like a city, it may look like an animal, like whatever it is, but they don't have any independent reality. Are the animals real? Is the city real? No, it is not. It simply appears as if those shapes are existing in the sky or in the mirror, but for that to happen, the actual reality has to be there. The clouds have to be there, or the actual person has to look at the mirror to see the reflection. Without a person standing in front of the mirror, there cannot be a reflection. So reflection is dependent reality. The person standing in front of the mirror is independent reality. So the person can exist without the mirror, but the mirror image cannot exist without the person. So that is
okay. So the person would be the adhishtanam and the reflection would be the arupitam.
Arupitam, yes. Person is the adhishtanam, the reflection is arupitam. Similarly, Vedanta says, Atma is adhishtanam, Vishwam is arupitam. Vishwam is arupitam.
Okay. Thank you.
I don't expect us to sort of understand clearly all these definitions and all these concepts right in the beginning of Vedanta. This is a journey of many 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 classes and sadhana. So another way to think about this is think about our dream state. So in the dream state, there is so much vivid dreaming happening with so many things going on in the dream. There are people, there are cities, there are vehicles, there are animals, there are trees, there are things happening, there are so many events that are taking place. But all those are very real to the person in the dream. But once the actual dreamer wakes up from the dream, every single entity in the dream goes back and collapses into where? The mind of the dreamer. The mind of the the dreamer. So all this reality, this entire movie called the dream, simply sprang up from the mind of the dreamer, and it played for so long, and the emotions were real in the dream, the thoughts were real in the dream, the experiences were real in the dream. Somebody got killed, somebody was made a king, somebody became a pauper, somebody became a millionaire. All these things are real within the dream. But once the realization that of the dreamer, that the dream has ended and I am now going into the waking state, what happens to everything in the dream simply collapses back into the mind of the dreamer. So that is what the dependent reality and independent reality is. And Vedanta makes this bold statement that the reality that you so truly perceive all around you is no different than the reality in the dream, which is where that leap comes. We are not able to make that leap. How is that possible? That is where the sadhana has to slowly and slowly come together, so that we can really understand what Shastra is saying. Shastra does not make these kinds of statements just like that. But so when the highest knowledge that we have, the Upanishads, are making a statement like that, then it is us who need to put in that effort and understand how and why they are making that statement and what is the impact of that statement on our lives. Okay? And that knowledge is gotten by the prasadam of the Ishvara, or Ishvara Anugraham and Guru Anugraham. That is why in Dakshinamurti, let me just complain, Acharya says, Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namaidam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. So with Acharya Anugraham, with Guru Anugraham, and with Ishvara Anugraham only, that knowledge will take place in us and we can internalize it and be able to cross what is called this samsara arnavam, or the ocean of sorrow, and enter into a realm where there is no sorrow at all. Okay. Any other questions? Okay, then we'll stop here. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamadachyate Purnamadaya 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 Sahanavavatu Sahanavunaktu Sahanavunaktu
Thank you, Guru.